Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. During a disagreement, how can I tell if I'm slow to listen and too quick to speak? If I'm slow to listen and too quick to speak, what should I do?
This question was submitted to us with several others, all within the context of parenting. So that this person is actually wondering, how do I know if I'm slow to listen to my child and too quick to speak to my child in a conflict? Now, the principles that we're going to share are applicable to all relationships, but we're gearing them specifically to the parent-child relationship. This listener is thinking of James 1, 19 and 20, which reads, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We should be quick to hear, slow to speak. What do we do if we are the opposite, quick to speak and slow to listen?" And here are a few questions that I would propose that you can ask yourself to determine that.
Yeah, first, what are you thinking when the other person is talking?
Yeah, what is occupying your mind when the other person in this conflict is talking? A great verse to keep in mind and even bury in your mind, commit to memory regarding communication and conflict resolution is Proverbs 18:13. We've had occasion to speak about it before on the podcast. Proverbs 18:13 reads, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." And this is the Bible's way of saying, don't try to speak definitively to an issue until you have listened to all sides, until you have all the information. Only a shameful fool would do otherwise. Proverbs 18:17, just a few verses later, is very similar. It reads, "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." And Proverbs 18:17. I love that verse because I have found it to be true over and over in my life. I think I've mentioned before on this podcast, I love watching the true crime shows. Mm-hmm. And on many of these shows, you know, they'll present one side, usually the side of the prosecution first. And typically at that point, I'm thinking, oh, this guy is so guilty. There's just no way around it. And then they give the other side the defense. And usually then I'm thinking, okay, where's Rick Jones to tell me whether or not this guy did it? Because I've got no clue what to believe.
Yeah.
We should think of ourselves during a conflict as being one side of a court case. We've heard our side, and given that limited information, we're usually convinced that we have the whole situation summed up, but we should use biblical wisdom and believe that Proverbs 18:17 is true and expect that we're going to hear something from the other person that changes our perspective. I mean, how arrogant to think otherwise.
Right.
If we want to be godly, if we want truth to win the day, if we want God to be honored, if we want to avoid being shameful fools, we'll listen intently to the other person in the conflict to find out what we're missing, because there's always something that we're missing. If when the other person is talking, then I'm making mental notes about how wrong they are, or I'm formulating my response, I'm not listening carefully to them. Multitasking is a big thing in our culture. But multitasking is impossible when it comes to communication. You cannot truly listen to another person while thinking about what you want to say or why they're wrong. If you're thinking about something else while the other person is talking, you are slow to listen. And let's be honest, we all know when someone isn't really listening to us, don't we? I mean, they kind of get that glazed look in their eye. You could tell.
Look, right? Absolutely.
And think about what that communicates to anyone, but especially to your children. It communicates, your perspective doesn't matter. My perspective is what matters. Being slow to listen is among the quickest ways to destroy lines of communication with our kids, and we cannot afford to do that. Now, on the other hand, if we are thinking about what the other person is saying, if while they're talking, we're processing their thoughts and we're asking follow-up questions to make sure that we understand, well, then we're likely listening well.
Another question. Are you ever persuaded by the other person's perspective?
Yeah, that's a great diagnostic question, too. If you're not ever persuaded by the other person's perspective, you're likely not listening. as at least it, not as James intends for us to listen. When James calls us to be quick to hear, he means more than perceiving sounds, and more even than properly decoding their vernacular. He means to understand where they're coming from. This is not the same thing as agreeing, but rather attempting to step into their shoes and truly understand them. If Proverbs 18:17 is true, and again it reads, the first to speak seems right until another comes and examines him. If that's true, we should expect that on a regular basis, we will hear things from our children or whoever we have a conflict with that will change our perspective of the situation. I mean, what are the odds that you always have a particular situation perfectly sized up before getting all the information? I mean, the odds are nil. So if you're never persuaded by what your child has to say in a conflict, you may not be truly listening.
Yeah, true. And here's a slew of questions to think through. How do conversations typically proceed? How many questions do you ask? Do you invite your child to speak? Do you speak first or do you listen first?
Yeah, it's really good to think back through how did these conflicts or these conversations typically go. Some parents believe that their children have no right to speak. I don't believe that we should see it that way. Any godly authority should be willing to listen to those under their charge. Just because you and I are in a position of authority doesn't mean that Proverbs 18:17 isn't true anymore. Otherwise, we're subscribing to a brand of might makes right, where I'm always right just because I'm the boss. That's arrogant, it's ungodly, it's unbiblical. And with children, that may be one of the things that Paul is warning us against in Colossians 3:21 when he writes, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." It's a demoralizing thing to never be heard in a conflict, to not even have a voice at all. And if we do that with our kids, just as Paul says, they're going to become discouraged. If you don't ever ask any questions, you don't allow your child to be heard, you're definitely quick to speak and slow to hear. A good listener is going to ask a lot of questions because they want to make sure that they understand. So think through how those conversations typically proceed. And if you find that you're not asking questions, you're not inviting your child to speak, you're always speaking first or speaking alone, then you likely are quick to speak and slow to hear.
So Greg, what counsel would you give to someone who determines they're quick to speak and slow to hear?
Well, the answer to that is easy. Doing it perhaps is not so easy, but here's what I would counsel someone to do. First of all, repent. You have a sinful pattern of communication going on, so turn from that and express that repentance to the Lord. Seek the Lord's forgiveness. Every sin is a sin against the Lord, so you start there. Second, I would confess this to your child. Express to your child, I acknowledge to you, I confess to you, I have a really bad pattern of not listening well and speaking too quickly before I have all the information. I want you to know I've repented of that before the Lord. I don't want to do it again. Will you please forgive me? I'm not sure how widespread this is, but I do know that there are a lot of parents who have who never asked their children to forgive them. And it can't be the case that they've never sinned against their children.
Yeah.
It can't be the case.
Right.
So when we sin against our children, we should teach them how to deal with conflict by asking their forgiveness. Mm. That's a reason to do it. The biggest reason to do it is it's the biblical thing to do. That's how we reconcile relationships. We seek forgiveness. A third thing that I would do is invite accountability. And accountability can come from a close friend, could come from your spouse. Your spouse would be great because he or she is with you all the time and witnesses many of these interactions. Also, though, if it were me, I would give my child permission to bring to my attention when it appears I'm slipping back into that old habit. I don't think that would be them infringing on that authority and submission relationship because I'm inviting them to do it. A fourth thing that I would counsel folks to do is that in future conflicts, I would go into that conflict prayed up and seeking to listen first, making sure I understand the other side before even beginning to resolve the situation. In fact, I would try to repeat back to my child what I think they're saying and ask them if I've got it right. And I would also ask them if they feel like they've been heard before I even begin to speak my side of the situation. Fifth, and all of these things are not necessarily in order. This one certainly is not. But I would commit some scripture to memory. We've mentioned James 1:19-20. That would be a great one. I would commit to memory Proverbs 18:13. I would commit to memory Proverbs 18:17. Perhaps also Psalm 141:3, which reads, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." So essentially, the counsel that I would give to somebody for this issue is very similar to the counsel that I would give for most sin issues, and that is you repent, you seek forgiveness, you invite accountability, and you begin to put off that old pattern of living and replace it with a new pattern of living.
Amen. Well, this was broadly applicable. We hope you find it helpful, and if you do, please share it.
Praise God.
Until next time.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.